Well, in a moment, we're going to go down under. You're going to meet a most incredible man, George Kavassalis, with an incredible story, a journey that has taken him throughout the universe. We'll talk with him in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Kavassalis has had an incredible range of experiences, including traveling up through the dimensions of our universe back in 2003 and rediscovering what life here on this planet is all about. Now, this extraordinary series of experiences include meeting and interacting with many different ET races. And here he is on Coast to Coast. George, welcome from another George. How are you?
George, I'm fantastic. Thank you. And I want to tell you how grateful I am for the opportunity. It's, I suppose, the two Georges getting an opportunity to discuss and contemplate life together. I think it's wonderful.
Absolutely. This planet, George, has been going through so much lately. How are things down under with the flooding situation, the earthquake in New Zealand? How are things getting back to normal at all?
Yes, but with a tentative feeling of, you know, changes are afoot. Everybody's starting to feel, hey, you know, something's actually going on here. So that's in one way, it's bringing about awareness to people, which is a wonderful thing.
That's so important. Tell us a little bit more about you.
Yeah, well, for me, I've had an incredible, like you said, an incredible life, and I really had to dig deep and think why and feel why do I have these experiences? Why am I having them? And, you know, why me? Why aren't other people having these experiences? And you begin to realize that there is a great sense of responsibility and obligation that actually comes with having these types of experiences. And it's a sense of obligation to actually share the knowledge and the wisdom that's gained from these experiences with our human family.
George, would you call yourself spiritual? You're not really religious. I'm not really religious, but I'm pretty spiritual. How about you?
Yes, I'm definitely a deeply, deeply spiritual man. I would go, very much a deeply spiritual man. I was christened a Greek Orthodox, and I went to a Catholic high school, and you know, I'm really not into churchianity, but I'm into Christianity, and I'm also understand that whether it's Jesus or Buddha or Krishna, to me, it's the same consciousness.
Sure.
It's just you know, it's I'm not into my football team is better than your football team. we're all one life, and that's the way I tend to you know, go about expressing and understanding life.
Some of the things that have happened to you have been pretty remarkable, pretty far out there. How do your friends, family react to this?
Yeah, I've had mixed responses, George. I've got members of my friends and family who, I've got a lot of friends that have fallen away. Every time I've tried to speak to them about it, it creates a lot of angst inside people because, you know, what we're doing is pushing the boundaries, as you're well aware,
sure,
of you know, people's current and normal understanding of life. And, you know, I've got some family members too who are very, very uncomfortable with it. But I can only, you know, love them unconditionally and allow them to be who they are. And I just got to continue to be authentic and continue to be me.
Are they scared of the things you say? I mean, does it frighten them about you? Do they say, oh my gosh, George, what are you saying?
Yeah, it is like that, George. It's definitely fear-driven, and it's the fear of the unknown, I would say, George, because of, you know, they judge you on what they know to be true. And we've all had that in our lives. We've all been brought up in various different societies and cultures, and therefore we have our cultural programming, even our family traditions, even, you know, family traditions and the bloodlines we've incarnated into, so, you know, with the genetic programming there. So there's a lot of energetic patterns that we are entrenched in that when you begin to introduce concepts that are beyond these boundaries, it does get uncomfortable for people, but that discomfort is actually change.
Well, let's start with this, George. So many millions listening to you right now are probably saying, okay, what happened to him? What did he go through? We'll start with that. Talk about some of these experiences. What happened?
Yeah, thanks, George. Well, it goes back as far as I can remember to the age of five or five and a half, and that's when I first had my the furthest memory that goes back with the extraterrestrial beings taking me from my bed at night, and really, I knew it was going on before then, but that's as far back as my memory goes. Uh-huh. So it's always been a part of my life, George. It's never something that happened later on in life. And I was having trouble staying awake at school because I'd be going up in craft at night, and then I'd have to sit through a boring science class during the day. And you know, it was a struggle to walk between the worlds. But I couldn't tell anyone. Every time I actually attempted just to share anything with anybody, it was very, you lose friends very quickly over these types of issues.
The first time it happened to you, the first time that you can remember that it happened to you, did you think you were just dreaming?
No, definitely not dreaming. It was a very real experience, actually. Even the bed sheets on my bed went missing as well, and I was paralyzed on the bed for an hour, and I was so cold. I was only a 5-year-old child, and I was so cold, and I was just paralyzed with fear and with the energy that they used to paralyze you with. And I finally got myself out of an almost rigor mortis type state, and then got able to stumble towards my mum's bedroom. But I stood there frozen with fear again, because I had like an energetic pattern that was, they work on your will, George, and I wanted to wake my mother up, but my will was overcome by them, so I was just standing there in front of her frozen, and I couldn't actually bring myself to wake her up.
Were you the only one in the family that this was happening to, or was it happening to other members?
I know it's happened to other members, but there's no way they're going to admit it. They are, the fear for them is just too great. And you can see it. It's like they're suffering post-trauma, because I've been through it throughout my life. And they are dealing with that as well, but they're dealing in a different way with the way I've dealt with it.
We've got a friend this country. He's a doctor who removes implants from people, and he believes that they are planted by ETs, extraterrestrials. Have you ever had any problems like that, or any kind of device implanted in you?
Oh, sure, plenty. I've still got some now. But you see, there's also energetic implants that they can implant, ones that you can't see, touch, or feel. You get to feel that they're there, okay? I'll go that far. And you get like an understanding and a knowing that there's something there. But you can't really measure it. There might be some technology available on the planet now that can measure these things. But, George, I had one cut out too. And then the day after, I sat there and I'm like, you know, that was a bit of a silly move, because all they can do now is just pick me up and put another one in. So you get to the point, George, where you realize that the only thing you've got left is your inner light and consciousness. And it got to the point where I started focusing on that. And I know that doesn't matter what they put in me, and that includes the shadow government. I've been manipulated by the shadow government and the ETs, because they collaborate behind the scenes, by the way. And, these implants, the only way you're really going to overcome them is to overcome them with your own spirit, with your own essence.
It sounds like this ET contact was not a very good one, was not a very benevolent one. Is that right, or was that mixed?
The particular ones we just discussed were of an unsavory nature. I'll say malevolent, but I've had some really beautiful experiences as well. So this is not all about fear and negativity, actually. You know, the greater experiences in life that I've had has brought about this re-remembering of what life here on this planet is all about, and that has just been so magnificent in my life, and the amount of people around the world that are now connecting and resonating with that remembrance really is just astonishing. I must say, George, it's astonishing.
The types of ETs that aren't the friendly ones, what do they look like?
All sorts. If there is no difference between the good ones and the bad ones in physical appearance.
So they could be the typical alien greys, the reptilians, everything we've heard about?
Oh, yeah, there's good and bad reptilians, there's good and bad draconians, there's good and bad greys, and there's a group of angelic-looking Nordics from Orion that are so deceptive. They come across as highly advanced spiritual beings, and they're the ones to be really careful of, because they can be in front of you and they can appear as an angel of light. And I've dealt with them personally, and I assure you, George, I'm really telling you something very important there.
How often were you taken?
There were times in my life I was being taken on average of 2 to 3 times a week.
Oh, my gosh. And is it ongoing now, George, or has it stopped?
Oh, no, it's backed right off, because they no longer have power over me. There might be the odd one that still occurs. But they've got very good screening methods for the memory. So I have, out of all the experiences that I've had in throughout my life, I have very little recall. But even because if you look at the point that I've had so many, even that little bit of recall that I have is really profound.
What did they want with you? What were they after?
Okay, that's a very good question, George. What they're interested in is our genetics, because we hold all the codes to life in our genetics. So our genes, the Earth human genetics, are the most prized commodity for those who look at us that way, who view us as a commodity, and there's a group that does do that.
We're the creme de la creme out there, I guess, huh?
We are. We are human, George. We are human, which means God-man. And that's what people like Jesus were attempting to remind us of, is of what we are becoming. And we hold all the codes of the life in our genes. And so, therefore, we access more life force than any other life form in the world, in the universe. And so, for those who are into power and control, they do it by manipulating life force. And so, if they can manipulate the human race, it gives them access to great power.
George, were they trying to extract information from you, or were they trying to give you information?
There are some groups that manipulated me and gave me false information. I stood up in 2004 and said I was a member of the Galactic Federation of Light, and that was a difficult time for me, after that, because I realised what was going on, and this group is not here, and they don't have our best interests at heart. There will be many who will beg to differ with this point of view, but they really don't have the awareness of the greater picture, the greater scheme of things, because while we have this ruling, controlling structure on the planet, they don't realise that behind the scenes, who's pulling the strings is an off-world cabal, and they are presenting themselves to this planet in various different forms at the moment through channelings, and that's the point I want to make, George. I'm not a channeler. I actually, the knowledge and wisdom that I share is from my own personal experiences, and so I'm not sharing information that has just been... I don't get downloaded by ETs, put it this way.
Okay. Do they get involved at all, George, with our affairs? Case in point, the Japanese earthquake and tsunami, the nuclear power leaks, the radiation everywhere. I would expect them to come in and save us. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, that's what this group wants, and that's what a lot of people expect, because we've been conditioned to function in that way, George. It's really important for us to understand that the beings of the true light want us to stand in our own power. Really, you've got to realize how powerful we are. That's the most important thing out of all this. We have the power to change everything. And if we're just going to sit back and expect somebody else to do it, then that's falling into that trap. We're still continuing to give our power away. And it's very important that we begin to stand and shine our own true light, because we all have the Christ within, and we are truly magnificent beings.
Some of your messages, George, have been like warnings about ETs. Tell me why.
Yeah, I warn of particular groups of ETs, because we just touched on that, George, and that has to do with a particular group who I would say have presented themselves to this planet over a long period of time. We're talking a period of 6,000 years. And they've had this long time plan, because they knew where this planet was heading. They had a pretty good idea, because nowhere else was so much attention being placed into one planetary system in the universe. So you have the most diverse environment here. Nowhere else is the diversity of life in one planetary system like we got here. And then you have the embodiment of a race called human race here that holds all the codes of the of life force in the universe. So you have this incredible long-term 6,000-year plan that has been implemented here to control and stop and divert the human race from becoming and reaching their true full potential. So that's what it's really all about. And we've got to be very careful, because we're talking about groups who are well-versed at this. You know, George, we're talking about eons of evolution in the universe. These ET races are no dummies. But for me, who's got that point of reference, I mean, I took a journey up through the dimensions of our universe, and I know where all these beings fit. I even know where you know, certain gods of religions fit. And so it's very important to understand just how many imposters there are and how many beings are here to deceive the human race. And they do it in such a sophisticated way. I mean, you know, we are talking about eons of evolution
in
the universe.
True. Did they genetically alter us at all? You know, there are old theories, the Sumerian tablets and texts that point out, depending on how you interpret them, that we were genetically altered by a certain race. What did you find out?
Yeah. Okay, that's a big question. All right. Yeah. Okay, the beginning. The human race was developed as a generic embodiment. So all the codes, that means any life form in the universe can incarnate into human form. So for that to occur originally, all of the races out there had to have an input into the genetics here to create the human form. So the original concept and the idea of creating this planet and creating the human form had to be implemented, and that was in line and conjunction with the divine plan. Now, what happened after that was other extraterrestrials who were very jealous of what was going on here and only wanted ever to control and manipulate the human race and this planetary environment. They're the ones that came here and started doing the gross manipulations that took place.
They are still coming here, I take it.
They're here now, and they are doing it in a very stealth way. And, you know, not so stealth in some regards. If you I'm sure you've spoken to speakers behind the scenes in the shadow government and what have you, that, you know, that paradigm, which that's what we label it, that they're in contact with extraterrestrial races behind the scenes. And that's the realm that's very, very murky. The waters are very murky there because there's a lot of ET races who belong to this particular paradigm that I speak of. It's a reality. It's a vibrational paradigm. And, you know, I'm talking about paradigms that have their own spiritual hierarchies and angelic hierarchies and all that. I'm not talking about the true angels. I'm talking about other angelic hierarchies that are caught up in certain paradigms. So, you know, this is what we're up against, George.
What have you heard or what have you learned about multiverses, other universes? Do they exist?
Yeah, but this one, when we talk about that, I'm not going to talk about it from the point of view of the conventional academic perspective or quantum perspective. What I'm going to discuss when we discuss multiverses, when I took this journey up through the dimensions of our universe with my consciousness, I got to see outside this universe and into what you could call the omniverse. I'll just use that label because universe is one verse. It's one expression of life. And all the other universes that I saw were of a different construct to this one. And this one, the construct of this universe is light. Now, all the other universes had a different construct, and I cannot explain them with this level of my consciousness and my awareness here in this universe, but this one is light.
You're on a mission now, George, to tell humans, to educate humans about something. I can feel it. What message do you want people to get?
Well, the information that I share is to remind people of who and what we are. To remind them that, you know, when I was up there looking outside into the omniverse, I re-remembered that we are infinite. And that's really important because if you know that you are truly infinite, George, really, truly contemplate the concept that you are infinite, that life is infinite. It means you have always been. You always have been and you always will be. It means that you have always existed. And it means that you've never been born or spawned out of a God matrix construct. So to understand what God is, we're all part of the all. And then, you know, we have the creator of this universe, which I can label God. And then you have, you know, the omniverse, and then it goes on. And it's forever. It's forever. It's not one entity controlling everything. We are all together part of the all, and we are all truly infinite. And so when you understand that and you truly know that, that means it's game over. They can no longer control you, and you can now live freely and unfold with the natural order of things in life and be one with God as we know it.
George, we're going to take this quick break, and we're going to come right back to you on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, split program for you, David Icke joins us, that's right, with his forecast of the future, along with Sterling Allen joining us as we talk about nuclear energy and where we're going in that direction. And when we come back with George Kavassalis, we're going to take your phone calls and continue this dialogue with him about his incredible journey. That's all next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We're with George Kavassalis, and he is down under, way down. Sydney, Australia, isn't it, George?
Yeah, I usually live in north of Adelaide, a few hundred kilometres north of Adelaide, but I'm on my Australian tour at the moment, George. So I'm in Sydney at the moment. We just did an event here, and you know, we're heading off to Melbourne, and then we're heading off to Europe for a European tour. And then hopefully coming over your way, George, over to the U.S., Canada and the U.S. in July.
Swing by Los Angeles.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
You got to do that. Did they talk to you at all about the future of this planet, events?
Well, not so much. Well, they're all talking about it, George. All the ETs that I consider of the true light, everybody's talking about it. Everybody's preparing for the great shift that's occurring on this planet. It's known by all the ETs out there. The ET groups that we are exposed to at the moment have a particular perspective because they are within a particular paradigm, and so you've got to get past that veil to get to the actual, you know, perspective of the rest of the universe and the rest of life. So we not only have a veil which is earthly and planetary, but there's also a cosmic veil around this domain as well. And that's what I want people to understand. Just because you're in contact with ETs doesn't mean, and they tell you what's going on, doesn't mean it's the truth. Because what people don't take into consideration is the cultural philosophies of that group of ETs, their spiritual teachings and philosophies. And you've got to ask, where did they get it from, and where are they situated in the scheme of things in life? So what vibratory patterns and realms are they existing on and existing inside of? So that's the bit that people keep leaving out. And lucky for me, I've had these vast experiences, so I've got incredible points of reference. And that makes it a lot easier for me to discern than for other people.
I'm going to call them messengers, George. Do you trust them? Do you trust these messengers?
Well, they're really, in all honesty, George, they are just family of life for all of us. Everybody that's incarnated here on Earth has come from out there. And so there's many different levels of life. And, you know, we use a generic term extraterrestrial, but, you know, there are many planetary systems and on different levels of life. So it's not just one level of life that is extraterrestrial. So it's really our people, our families, and it's us on these other dimensional paradigms.
But they don't say to you, George, we know you're going to get hit by an asteroid. It's going to be a planet changer. You have to warn everybody. Do they get into that at all?
No, the ones of the true light don't do that. But what they, what I have come to know and understand in my life, George, and throughout my experiences, is that this planet is a living being.
Yes.
And everything that is in created, manifested in life in this universe is its own consciousness. So the solar system, the sun itself, is its own being. So what people have actually forgotten is the most basic construct of all is their very existence here on this planet. And they've lost that connection with the consciousness of this planet. And what I always say people to do, what I urge them to do, is to connect with Mother Earth and ask her what she's doing. Because we get all these stories, George, from all these different ET groups that our planet is currently exposed to, and people don't actually take into consideration Mother Earth's journey herself. And so I'll give you a really good shining example of that, and that is the latest earthquake in Japan.
Okay.
And the latest series and run of earthquakes. And people are blaming HAARP. You know, it's the conspiratorial mind. It's habitual. People love the drama, George. And so what they're not taking into consideration is that Mother Earth actually straightened up on her axis a little bit, which created the earthquake. And, you know, you've got to realize that this planet is a living being, and she has her journey, and she has her intention. And she's the one that's facilitating the human race on her body and the ecosystem we are inside of. So it's probably best that people start, you know, rekindling that connection. I mean, we exist here because of her in the first place. So, you know, we're breathing her air, we're drinking her water, and we're eating her food. So that your very basic existence is because of this being that has chosen to manifest herself as this planet to begin with. So they're the basics that, you know, the beings of the true light begin to, you know, help you with when you start to leave this paradigm.
Let me throw some things your way and tell me if you've got knowledge of it because of the ET contacts. Wormholes.
Yeah, sure. Wormholes. Okay, there's a thing called a serpent rope that the South Americans go on about, and that's not actually a technological wormhole as that's the way some people have interpreted that. That's actually the umbilical cord that comes from the center of the galaxy through to the sun and then through to the center of the Earth. And that's why there's this, you know, when a child is birthed, there's this huge surge of nutrients and blood and energy that goes down the umbilical cord to the child in the womb before it's birthed. And that's what's happening here, George. Mother Earth is birthing this new race of life. She's about to give birth to a planetary race of light, universal light beings and universal creators. You know, a whole planetary race of Christs and Buddhas and Krishnas, whatever label you want to use it, you know. So that's what's going on here. And so these energetic waves that are coming in are changing things. They're changing the sun, they're changing the solar system, and they're changing the Earth.
Life. And I'm sorry, go ahead, George.
Yeah, and therefore changing humanity, yeah.
Life after death.
Life after death. There's not one destination. Everyone's on their own journey. People come from all different levels, and when they pass over, they go to different levels. Some people are trapped in lower domains, and they go around circles for a while, you know, a few eons of time. But everyone's on their own journey, George. It's not one rule fits all.
ETs, in terms of being physical or dimensional?
Both. There's physical ETs and there's dimensional ETs. Yeah, definitely both. Like, for example, the majority of my incarnational construct, because we have multiple energetic streams coming into our embodiments, you can see if someone was to ask me, where am I from? I would say I'm from Sirius. And I'm not from a planet that revolves around Sirius. I'm actually from the star itself. So that the star itself is a planet, but on a higher level of existence. And that's why from down here we view it as light, because it's a much higher vibration in life.
Propulsion systems, do they tell you about that? Were you able to witness that?
When beings from a higher plane of existence manifest a ship, it's an extension of their own being. And what they use to move around the universe is the law of attraction. So what they will do is they will focus their intention in a particular point in the universe because, you know, on that level of life, you're connected to the whole universe. And then what happens is you dematerialize from one location and you rematerialize in another location. And that's what's used. I mean, that's what gravity is. You know, scientists are racking their brains, George, to work out what gravity is, and it's simply the law of attraction. I mean, you know, we gravitated, our souls gravitated here to this planet to incarnate here. So it's all it is.
All right, to the phones we go, east of the Rockies. We'll go to Dusty in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hi, Dusty.
Hey, George, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Oh, really
coming.
Good, thanks, Dusty.
All right, the question I had for your guest tonight was, in any of your contact experiences, have any of the aliens gave you any shedding light on what kind of lives they live whenever they're not here, like where their planet's like, and stuff like
Sorry,
that?
Sorry, they've given me what? I didn't hear the last bit.
Like, have any of the aliens you've been in contact with, have they gave you any information about what their lives are like on their own planet?
Yeah, what are their lives like?
Yeah,
on their own planet, George.
And it will depend on which extraterrestrials you're talking about, because there's different expressions of life everywhere. And so if I was to give you an example of what life is like in the fifth dimension, for example, everything's in harmony, and there's one energetic center on the body, so you're beyond the seven chakra body, because, you know, when you have the seven chakras, that's actually the 4D body, by the way, people who are into that kind of thing. So there's one energetic center, and life is in harmony. There's no healers, of course, there's no doctors, because everything is in harmony with life. Everyone's one with God. So there's no, there's nothing that needs healing. There's no illnesses and no sickness. No one eats anything. So nothing's consumed. Everything lives off light energy. And everything just flows. You're in this constant flow. You're so one with God. Everything flows. Everything you do every day. And there's no sleeping because there's no day and night. And there's this constant expression of this sense of joy and oneness with life. And you just constantly doing something. It's an amazing state of being.
George, have these series of encounters changed your life?
Absolutely. I wouldn't be the man I am here today without having them. And I've had some really horrible experiences, George, and I'm so grateful for them.
You mean with them or just in life in general?
No, I've had some really bad experiences with some ET groups, particularly ET groups and shadow government groups, okay. Really bad ones, George. And I'm so grateful for them, I've got to tell you. At the time, you know, you're caught up in the drama and you play the victim and the blame game. But it gets to a point in your life where you start to realise that everything that you experience, you've created from a higher level. And so you begin to really be grateful for every experience that you have, and you stop blaming anyone and everything else for it. And you embrace all your misery and all your suffering and all your darkness, and you integrate it and you move beyond it. And that's what wisdom is, George.
Mary Kate is in Santa Monica, California. Hi, Mary Kate.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Okay.
Really good. Thank you.
Awesome. So I've been reading a book called Prepare for the Landing that you're mentioned in. And so I just wanted to clarify two things. If you thought that there was going to be a mass evacuation, and if beings like Ashtar and people of the Galactic High Council were good people, were good beings.
All right. There is going to be a mass evacuation of the planet coming up soon. I recommend not to go on the ships. I recommend to stay with Mother Earth. Because there's going to be openings into higher dimensional realms on the Earth that will open up. I talk about this extensively in my talks. I know that these other beings are here to lure people off-world. And so any being that is suggesting to lure you off-world, that's a red flag for me, because that's not what the divine plan is about. You've incarnated here for a reason. You've got this intimate relationship with Mother Earth happening for a reason. And I suggest people to try and remember that relationship, and then you will see for yourselves that exactly what it is I'm talking about.
Yeah, the book she was talking about, Prepare for the Landing, said two of our guests were on, Michael Ellishon and Aurora Light. Good people, by the way.
Yeah. I'm not aware of that book, so I really can't comment. I'm sorry about that.
There are groups of people in the United States. I don't know what they're doing worldwide, but they're putting up billboards, George, that say Judgment Day's May 21st. They're going to be taken, and then the planet ends. It's all over for us. Those are left behind on October 21st. Do you have any information about that from your ET contacts? That would happen?
Yeah, I don't. And I don't have that sort of information from Mother Earth and Father Sun and the Universal Consciousness, which I have a reasonable connection with. I would say my understanding is that these openings will begin to happen towards the end of this year, and then around the 21st of December 2012 is when they will shut. Things by the middle of next year will start to get really, really that challenging and difficult, and it's around the middle of next year that the mass evacuations will begin to happen. Sounds crazy, I know, for some people. I totally understand that. Sounds deluded and crazy, but really, if you really begin to reconnect with the universe and the planet and the solar system and the greater life itself, you'll understand that there's actually an intention behind our existence here, and that cycle is coming to an end, and there's plenty of evidence all around you. It's just whether you can actually have the awareness to see it or not.
Well, I would ask you, too, if it's tied into the 2012 Mayan calendar date.
It is tied into that, George, and that's what they're trying to tell you, is this huge universal cycle is coming to an end, and that's wheels within wheels, George. It's cycles within cycles. That wheels within wheels was not a mechanical explanation. It was explaining that those beings came from other realms, and it's wheels, cycles, life cycles within life cycles. That's what it actually means, and they're all converging and coming to an end, and the cycle does not end on the 21st of December 2012. It actually ends on the 21st of March 2013, because we're in the precession of the equinoxes. We are not in the precession of the solstices. So I hope people can understand.
Overlooking the Mississippi River, Alton, Illinois, let's go to Tom. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Yes, great to be on with both of you both.
Sure.
My question is, when you said you have viewed this omnidimensional plane, would you do that in an out-of-body or an in-body experience?
Okay. Well, I've traveled with certain groups with my body. They've taken me to other worlds, to other... Every time even you just go in a craft, the moment you're in a craft, you're in a different vibrational reality. And so your atoms spin at a different speed and your molecules vibrate at a different rate. And so when I'd be put back, it'd be actually quite, you know, sometimes it'd be very painful and took me days to recover. So it depends. Mars has a very uncomfortable feeling to it. The moon is very, very... neutral and sterile. It's a very strange feeling on the moon. Other worlds too. Depends on the vibration of the expression of the planetary being that you're on. And then a lot of other experiences that I've had. I've had astral experiences. I've had etheric travels. But when I took that journey with up through the dimensions of the universe, that was with my full-blown I am presence, my full consciousness.
Okay, let's go to Salt Lake City. Josh is with us on Coast to Coast Time. Hey, Josh.
Hello. Thanks, George.
Sure.
Hello, George.
Hey.
I have a quick question for you. I had an incredible experience one night with three of my friends. And to make a very horrific long story, very, very short, I believe we may have had an encounter with some aliens. We were camping up near a place called Ogden in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side of the mountain from Ogden, there was a very large craft. It would be considered a flying Walmart. And after giving it a considerable amount of thought, I wondered to myself if this was an actual craft or perhaps some sort of a hologram. Because around the campfire, every now and then we would hear a noise that sounded like a sneeze. Literally, it sounded like a sneeze, which we dismissed to be animals at first. After some time and after seeing this craft go by, we were spooked. We left. Again, a very long story made short. We were stopped in our vehicle by some very bright lights. We got out thinking it was an oncoming car. It then elevated, came over just above us. I remember something very different than my friends remember. They remember the lights coming directly over me. I don't remember that at all. I remember being horrified, frozen in my own skin.
Let me get George's reaction real quickly because we're off the air in 30 seconds here. George, false flag. Would it be done by the shadow government? Is that possible?
Oh, look, there's so many plans, plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G, George. Which one's going to be implemented? We'll just have to wait and see. But the great deception is to try and lure you off the planet. My advice is to stay on the planet and birth with the divine mother essence of this universe. And that's my recommendation.
That is safe enough. George's website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.